Forbidden Panel welcomes you to Panelcast, Forbidden Panel's weekly podcast featuring movie and comic news and reviews. And now, your hosts, AJ and Brian.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 102 of the Panelcast. My name is AJ, and this week we're coming to you live from the premiere of Indiana Jones and Raiders of the Lost Ark on IMAX. I'm here with Martin.
Hello.
And Vanessa.
Hello.
And some other dorks that are walking up right now. I know it's been a while since we've been on the show, but we've been kind of busy getting our stuff going on. But this week, we already have a lot of we'll have a lot of cool stuff to talk about, like Batman Live, exactly what we're doing here at the show, and other comics and news that have come out throughout the time since we've done episode 101. So with that, we'll go ahead and take our first quick break, and we'll be right back.
Hi, this is Justin White with Necrosapien Press. Why don't you come down and check out the website at necrosapien.net. You can see all my latest artwork and projects, and we'll have a store up soon where you can buy prints of my art. Thanks.
And we're back! All right, Marty, you got some news. Bring us in.
Well, the biggest news coming out in comic books right now is the DC 52 Zero issues, which are all starting to hit stores this year, and that... but they're hitting shelves this week. The biggest one that was out now was the Green Lantern Zero issue, showing the first Arab American superhero, which was a big deal to a lot of people.
That can't be true. I know there's a few in Marvel at least.
Yeah.
Shade and Dust and all them.
Yeah, it seems like it's a big deal over nothing. Like, really, we got to point that out.
Like, seriously playing the race card for the
right.
win.
And it's not, and they don't show, like, a face or anything that stands out as a cultural thing.
Of course, because they all look alike.
He wears
so
a mask.
Anybody.
He wears a
That's
full face mask. And so, I don't know why that was such a big deal, but it seemed to be a popular topic of discussion. And the other news is kind of old. The Superman-Wonder Woman relationship that has finally happened, that's been talked about for years. I don't know about your thoughts on it.
Okay, first off, it's not finally happened. It's happened over and over and over and over again. It's always happened. The problem is that now they're rebooting it and trying to make it happen in a new sense. For all the new fans that don't want to bother researching the fact that it's been like they've done it like 10 different issues, you know.
I think most famously, Kingdom Come is the first one that always pops in my mind when they
right.
talk about Superman.
Right, or I can't remember what issue it was, but it was where like Batman and Superman were having a discussion. Like Batman asked Superman, "Was it right for him to bang Wonder Woman?" Because
yeah.
Superman had done it before. So I mean, it's nothing new. It's just teeny boppy now.
Yeah.
Now that they've twilighted fucking the DC universe.
It's funny you say that. It went beyond comic books. Match.com got involved, and they actually made a Superman and Wonder Woman profile that showed them being a match, an online dating match. So superheroes are so busy nowadays, they got to go through lame-ass online dating. So that was kind of ridiculous. But it was one of the most popular covers last week for Justice League issue 12. And if you haven't gotten your first issue, they've pretty much sold out everywhere.
Martin has a tattoo on his thigh.
And they are now sending a second printing to stores. So that was DC Universe news. Marvel now is sort of releasing teasers. I don't really call them teasers. I think they're one word little posters.
Well, those are annoying. The little black background with the Wanted and Nemesis and Chupa Mi Verga and all that stuff that they
yeah.
got going on. It's retarded. I mean. Again, if you want to know what's going to happen in Marvel Universe, pick up fucking DC 52. Pick up any of the beginning line of the Ultimates books that came out. You know, it's all been done before. It's all happened before, and it'll all happen again. So, I mean, I'm not too surprised. I am excited to see the new Avengers comic, which is basically what the Avengers comic was now, just with, like, one extra X-Men in it or something. but I'm excited for that. One of the big news that came out was the endorsement of the Ultimate Spider-Man character. A lot of people out there, Marvel included, is endorsing Miguel, I think that's his name?
Miles.
Miles has the new Ultimate Spider-Man, even with Peter Parker passing the torch on him, so that was kind of big. And the other big news is that, you know, Jean Grey is coming back, which we all knew was going to happen anyway.
And she's not, it's not just part of Marvel now. It's also
no, it's
part
the ending
of
it's Flashpoint.
Yeah, they basically did what Flashpoint is.
Yeah, they're wiping everything out, and It's Crisis Again on Infinite Earths. It's the same thing over and over and over again.
Yeah, so Avengers versus X-Men will be ending shortly here with Jean Grey in September, and then October rolls out.
Which
Marvel
leads
now.
You to believe that freaking Jean Grey is the reason it all ends.
Yeah.
She comes up, destroys everything, and then it just reboots.
Which is what happened with Professor Zoom in Flashpoint. Is basically him and Flash in their big final battle, Flash resets the time stream, and that's where New 52 came from.
Right.
And they keep teasing in New 52 about that old timeline and its exist. So it's kind of sad to see it happening over at Marvel, but I'm hoping that with some of it, there'll at least be some good that comes out of it.
The problem with all these reboots is it basically invalidates anything that you've ever enjoyed about comic books up until this point. So if you liked how Wolverine interacted, or how Deadpool is getting his sense of humor, all this stuff that's going on, if you liked all that, well, tough shit, because they're going to change it all. So anything you liked about those particular characters is now going to be gone because their personality is going to change due to the reboot of a new history that they have. It's the same thing that happened with the Ultimate Universe. Like, all these characters had different backgrounds, so you really couldn't relate to them anymore. Hawkeye became a badass in the Ultimate Universe, you know? Peter Parker never became an adult, stayed a teenager, and died a fucking hero. J. Jonah Jameson loved him, you know, wrote an editorial about his death and how, like, this little kid gave his life. You're not going to see that anymore with Marvel now. You know, because they're just going to say goodbye to all that. What you know about comics is gone.
Mm-hmm.
All that stuff doesn't matter anymore. All the stuff that you grew up loving and learning and researching about these characters are no longer valid. Your point is moot. Now we're going to start all over, and you're going to have to find someone else to love.
Yeah.
Which hopefully will mean less Wolverine titles, but who knows?
Less Wolverine titles, maybe less X-Men titles? I don't know. That was one of the things that was starting to piss me off about Marvel, was there were so many titles out there, it was hard for me to keep track of which universe I was reading in at that point in time, and which title followed. But I was also just now getting into Gambit, just started his own series, Hawkeye just started his own series, and they were awesome, I really liked them. And they're only going to be at issue 3 when this new Marvel Now comes out, and what's going to happen? Do they disappear? Are those over? Or are we going to still have multiple
books? They did
this
stuff all before, Heroes Reborn, Age of Apocalypse. All that stuff. They've done it, like, they've done it locally, like, condensed based on specific teams, X-Men and all that stuff, but now they're doing it globally. What was it, the Age of the Mutants, where, you know, Maximoff said no more mutants, and the 198 started.
Yep.
You know, all that stuff. They've done this all before.
Yeah.
So, the fact that they're doing it again means that they're slacking in sales. However, the nice thing that will happen because of it is that we'll lose all the multiple copies of the different titles that are out. I mean, we had X-Men Blue, X-Men Gold, X-Men Alpha, all that stuff that went away. You know, now maybe we'll just have one steady X-Men, one steady Avengers. But I'm sure we're going to have, like they did with Age of Apocalypse, Wolverine and the Marauders or whatever crap, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So there's solo issues and solo series that are coming out. So they're taking away the multiple titles of issues and instead releasing multiple titles of individual characters. So they'll still get, like, shoving down your throat how many teams Wolverine's on. They'll just be under a different title with different groups of people. So, I don't know. It's just, it's ridiculous. I think we should do that for Forbidden Panel. Screw it. We just reboot everything.
We're going to reboot?
Yeah, it's going to be the human apocalypse instead of the zombie apocalypse. And it'll be awesome.
Yeah. You know, everyone else is doing it. It seems to be bringing big money. DC
right.
Comics, huge success out of this reboot that they did last year. The one-year anniversary is this month. That's why they're releasing the Zero issues, and then we're going into big new story arcs starting with 13 in October.
But again, they're hitting the same problem that Marvel is not seeing. After 1 year, people are tired of seeing all these old stories and reboots, and they're expecting it to go back to the way it is, and it's not. So they're seeing sales slipping. How many titles got canceled in the past year because of this reboot that didn't last? Marvel's going to see the same thing. Give them about 6 months, and you can see all these titles that came out that were relaunched through the Marvel Now line, and it's just going to fail. And they're going to have to write themselves into a corner and figure out a way to get back to the original universe as it was.
So that's comic book news that I have. Anything to add to that in terms of comic books?
No, not really. For anything else you guys want to check out, just hit the website. I'm sure we have a lot of news posts.
Yeah, we do have a new post put up today for a book coming out next week I reviewed called Whore, which I will
it's
tell you.
It's a self-titled book.
Yeah.
Based on Martin's entire life.
Yeah, I went and sold
as
my
a
rights.
Worker for the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. He was the other half of the half shell that they were the hero of, that they spoke of. You know, they had April Jones and Martin Bright that took care of their needs. He invented turtle polish and turtle wax. Yeah.
Wow.
I'll just stop now.
Yeah, you should, yeah. So, Horror, go check it out. It's reviewed on the website. It's a graphic novel hitting shelves next week, forbiddenpanel.com. With that, we'll take a quick break, and then we will be back to talk about more cool things.
Including Batman Live.
Forbidden Panel is currently looking for artists. If you or someone you know would like to join us, please visit www.forbiddenpanel.com.
I love that our intro is now followed by smooth jazz. That's nice bed music. As I look deeply into Vanessa's eyes and say, "Hey, baby, how'd you like Batman Live?"
I had a lot of fun.
Short and sweet. Wow.
Wow. Okay, Corbin Dallas. Anyway, so we're back. This week we had the special privilege, or, you know, I don't know what to call it, but we went and saw Batman Live, which was down at the Anaheim Honda Center. Batman Live, for you, those of you that don't know, is the stage show. Basically a play put on, a live-action version of Batman, with a lot of acrobatics and special effects and stuff like that. So we went down, we checked it out, and we had some really awesome seats that afforded us a real good view of in front of the stage and all the stuff that was going on. Martin, what did you think about it?
Going into it, I didn't know what to expect. You know, I had heard a lot about it, and I'd seen the videos from the overseas tour that they did. But going and seeing it, it reminded me a lot of the Joel Schumacher Batman movies in the style and the look and the colors. But it was very much...
Luckily, we're far away enough not to see ass or fat nipples.
Yeah, yeah. But it was like a circus, Batman as a circus show. Like the,
right, like a Ringling Brothers. Yeah.
They had all these acrobats and stunt scenes. There was this one fight scene where Batman, Robin, and Catwoman are surrounded in a circle in a fight. And like they did the fight moves to a beat and to the music, and it all lined up. And it was
like if they would have started snapping fingers.
Oh, man, yeah. It was
been awesome.
It was really cool, the organization of it. And then all of the style they put into it. There was digital elements. There was stunts. There were props. There were costumes. There was music. Like, all of that rolled into one as a show. It was really cool. The acting in the story was very much meant for children. You know, there were a couple of adult jokes in there, here and there, but nothing major. This was, you know, like, when you go to see Disney on Ice, it's clearly made for children. But as an adult fan, I was able to go and enjoy it, and it was a lot of fun. And like you were saying, our seats were just amazing. We had such a great view of over the...
Martin is making motions with his hands, thinking you could all see him.
Gotham City as a whole, and so we really got to post some of those pictures that we took with the panel.
And there was magic.
And there was magic.
Yeah, there was a magic show too. That was kind of cool.
There was a magic thing. And it was cool because the back was like a movie theater, and as the story's going through, they were flipping through the pages, so it was like a live comic book.
Yeah, that was
actually, was really cool.
Yeah, the comic book element of it was really strong, which was cool. And that whole flipping through, like you were saying, the screen really added to it. And
which is why, you know, like some of our friends that were with us, they got moved down to closer seats, but they were on the side. And, you know, there was a part of me that was like, oh, man, I wish we could sit there so we can see closer. But then I realized they can't see what's on the screen. So I had no idea what was going on, and we did. So it was like we're... You know, like we are now at the IMAX, like we're watching this, and I thought it was awesome.
It felt a lot like a movie almost from where we were sitting, that to have such a big screen involved in this show. And the lighting, they used the lighting to make things on stage, like the circus floor for the Flying Grayson scenes and things like that. They incorporated the digital element, the video element, onto the stage. And then to have driving vehicles come out on stage, too. You know, it was a big enough stage where the Batmobile actually drove out on stage.
It peeled out.
Yeah. And then the Joker's mobile, you know, like, came out, and it was a clown car, but it, like, totally was bouncing around on stage everywhere and looked really cool.
I feel like they really utilized both techniques of a movie and a play production. The things you would use in a movie, they did it simultaneously with the theater production. And so you were getting almost like double stimulation of two events all at once. And I thought that was really cool.
I'm going to leave that double stimulation comment alone.
This is why we don't get girls on the show, AJ.
I'm trying to be professional, AJ.
So am I, which is why I'm leaving it alone.
Yeah.
I brought up the fact that you said it and I acknowledged it, But I'm walking away without adding any dirtiness to
that's
the comic.
Very gentlemanly.
Thank
of
you.
You.
Thank
I'm
you.
Doing my best.
Now what was your what was your insight on the show? Like, I mean,
I'm out.
You've seen shows. You've seen Batman movies. What did you think about it?
I thought honestly, I thought the okay. So I'm gonna be like completely honest and critique the thing. I thought the fight choreography was ass. I thought they could have done a lot better, but Batman was just standing there posing all the time. And you can tell he wasn't really connecting, and they didn't get a lot of practice with it. So that kind of bothered me. The other thing that bothered me was the glitches. There was a lot of CGI glitches going on the screen in the background. That kind of got to me, but I understand it because it was night one. It was the first night out here. They were testing out the technical systems and all that stuff. And the other third thing that bothered me was Batman flew.
Yeah.
And that got me.
Yeah, the Matrix fight scene.
Yeah, he
those
flew. And that, like, you know, the whole Batman-Catwoman scene where they're, like, catching each other. Well, they did it in midair. And there was nothing in the background to support the fact that they were fighting over the city or something that was going on. No, it was like the Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon fight.
Right.
Yeah.
And that kind of got to me. But other than that, the acrobatics were phenomenal. When I saw them starting to do like the acrobats on the ball, balancing and the flips and all the stuff that they were doing, I was highly impressed. When they came out of the ceiling and were doing the trapeze motions and the scarf dancing and stuff like that was highly impressive. And like you said, the vehicles and everything, when they finally showed the Batcave and the Bat screen came on and it had all these different interactions and the character profiles and all that stuff, that impressed me. Because that was super high def right there.
Mm-hmm.
And even the backstory on the Batmobile, that it didn't have wheels, it floated. To mm-hmm. allow him for sharper turns.
Virtual wheels, yeah.
I liked that change in it. I did not like the Joker's voice. That kind of got to me. But it felt more like they were tossing it back to the Cesar Romero Joker.
Yeah.
So, you know, I kind of forgave on that. But
It seemed like some of the campiness that was in there was back to the 60s Batman.
Right.
Like, but it was meant to look like more modern. Like, not Batman Begins modern, but like the Joel Schumacher, those middle age Batman movies.
Now that's just my analysis as being, you know, like analytical nitpicky.
Mm-hmm.
Now if you want to ask me as a geek, I felt like I was a fucking 5-year-old at a circus. I loved every second of it. I thought it was the most awesome thing I'd ever seen in my life.
Yeah, it was a different experience. I think we go to a lot of comic conventions, we go to movies every week and things like that. We do a lot of stuff. This was a different kind of trip for us, a different kind of experience, and I had a lot of fun in that sense.
It even made me wonder, like, I wanted to put on a stage show like that, like, with a zombie beauty pageant or, you know, with GK and stuff, putting on something like that included not only just stage performance, but aerial acrobatics and fireworks and visual stuff, too. Like, I want to do that. That would be awesome. And they did a phenomenal job. And we were even discussing how in January, How to Train Your Dragon show is coming out there. And I want to see that. I think that would be awesome.
Yeah.
That was my opinion. As a geek, best thing I've ever seen in my life. Like,
now,
hands down.
And Vanessa, now you're not a huge comic book person. You're into it, and you have some geek cred. We will give you that. As an outsider person, what
that we've given you.
Like,
I'm not as hardcore as these two, but I mean, as a female 20-something having a good time, I was visually entertained, and I don't have.
And we lost Vanessa. We broke her. Come on back, girl. Come on back. Bring her back.
All right.
Take a breath.
I have ADD, and it had my attention the whole time. And there was a lot going on the sides, and I couldn't keep my eyes off the stage. So I think that's awesome. Because you can get bored and stuff like that.
Right.
And there was something constantly changing or something going on. And I really liked it.
One of the impressive visuals, the more impressive visuals that I had seen that I did not think they were going to do in that aspect was when the chains came out the floor and there were bodies wrapped in it.
Yeah.
That was fucking awesome in my opinion.
I thought they were real bodies at first.
Right. And I thought, like, to me, that felt very adult.
That was a very adult
thing to do.
Because they played it safe until then.
Right.
Like, when they did the fighting scenes or whatever, it was, like, silhouettes of dead bodies, like,
right,
on the background, like a comic book scene.
Yeah.
And then this one was, like, literally people hanging from chains.
Right.
So that was pretty cool.
And it was very Silent Hill.
And it was very, but
yeah,
I mean, it was a
Silent
good representation
Hill,
for Arkham Asylum.
Right.
Yeah, because they're
don't mind the background noise, guys. We're in a movie theater.
Like the straight jackets, and then they were hung from the chains.
Mm-hmm.
So that was cool.
Yeah.
What do you guys think of the Joker live body face?
The set for it was basically Joker's circus, and he took over a circus, and then he made his own Joker area, and it was a giant Joker face, bodies acting as parts of the face.
The teeth were human.
Yeah.
The
hair
was human being.
Yeah.
All that stuff.
It was pretty creepy. I mean, I was fumbling trying to get my phone out because I was just like, "Is that moving?" Yeah, and then, like, the teeth were falling, but it was the people dropping.
Right.
It was incredible. Yeah, I liked it.
The visuals were just amazing. Like I said, the show was great. Definitely a once-in-a-lifetime experience that I plan on doing every time I come back to life.
Yeah.
So. Definitely.
Yeah.
Sign me up.
Yeah, it's something to definitely go see if you get a chance. I know it's touring North America, is what they're saying. It's in California for the rest of this weekend, and then next weekend in L.A., and then I believe it's moving on, so... Get a chance, go check it out. Definitely not one to miss.
Oh. All right, so with that, we'll go ahead and take a quick break and enjoy the movie. When we come back, we'll discuss what we thought of Raiders of the Lost Ark on IMAX.
Hi, this is Brandi Ossett, Reiki Master Teacher and High Priestess, and also author of The Goddess Guide. Please visit my website at brandiossett.com for information on all things spiritual and mythological.
As you can tell by the music, the movie is now over. In fact, we just saw Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark in IMAX. What do you think, Martin?
Up until that last 2 minutes, I was really impressed by the IMAX-ness of the movie, the sound, the picture. But then, like, those last 2 minutes, it was really blurry, right?
I don't know if it's the last few minutes, because I've seen the blurry spots throughout the movie.
There were a couple in the beginning and kind of in the middle, but it seemed like anytime they had a large landscape, that got blurry. But, like, the last, just the few scenes, even the close-up ones, seemed like they were off.
I think maybe they rushed it.
Yeah. Yeah, it seemed like that. But, it was like, let's get this on the big screen. But it looked really cool to have it up there. And there were a couple of scenes where it seemed like they cleaned it up a lot. You didn't see the reflection on the glass and the snake pit and the well of souls and things like that as much this time around.
And the ghosts that came out of the Ark were very clean.
Yeah, they were a lot cleaner. The melting still looked the same, just bigger, on a bigger screen. So, that was cool.
Yeah. All in all, I guess it was kind of cool. I don't know, I'm one of the few people that actually saw it in theater when it first came out, so it didn't feel any different to me.
Yeah, see, and I hadn't seen it on the big screen, so for me it was a new experience. It was cool, but it's still, to see the blurriness was kind of disappointing when you come to see it in an IMAX screen. It's one thing if you just see it on the big screen again, they just show you the same film without redoing anything. Instead of running it on IMAX, you expect something a lot bigger.
I'd have been a lot more impressed if they showed, like, the uncut version. You know, the director's cut or what have
right.
you, with all the cutout scenes and footage inside of it. It feels like the only thing they really did IMAX, like they concentrated IMAXing, was the sound.
Yeah, definitely the sound. That was one of the biggest things I noticed, too.
Yeah, the sound was a lot clearer and crisp. The music was, you know, came across really great. So, I don't know.
It was, and this is for a Blu-ray release, so it'll be interesting to see if the Blu-ray has some of the same issues. Like, are we going to go see a Blu-ray movie that has blurry scenes in it? Or
right.
are we going to get a nice, clean club Blu-ray?
Well, maybe they did it for the Blu-ray and thought it would play well on IMAX.
Yeah.
Whoever was supposed to pre-screen it failed. They're fired.
Yeah. But with that, you know, it was worth the price of the tickets to come and see it on the big screen.
I don't know, $20?
It's something I wouldn't have been able to do in my lifetime. You know, you don't get to go to the drive-in every weekend and see a movie like this. We've
drive-in, really? You gotta, like, date it?
Well,
really?
I mean, like, that's the only place I would see them
playing. Hopping in your jalopy and heading down to the drive-in?
Heck yeah. But, you know, like, we've seen Scarface now on the big screen. They've been bringing Star Wars movies back for the last couple years. They've been doing things like that. So for them to do this and bring an old movie back is really cool. So, you know, for that experience, it was worth paying for.
All right, well, we're going, take a break. When we get back, we'll be out front talking to everybody else and getting their opinions of it.
All right, guys, and we're back. And we're outside with our friends that we dragged out to a 10:30 showing of Indiana Jones on the IMAX screen. What did everybody think? Don't everybody talk at once and run away from the microphone. We all know how everybody likes to be on mic. So, what did you guys think?
It was Raiders, which means it's always good, and they cleaned it up nicely. Realistically, they did.
Yeah,
sound,
clean on the IMAX.
Video was cleaned up pretty nicely, so it was enjoyable.
It was worth the experience.
Did you guys notice the blurry scenes though?
A couple of them, yeah.
A couple
on the, especially on the edges and stuff. Yeah.
But the nice thing is, it wasn't as grainy as, you know, the original.
Yeah, there was, like, the TV graininess was gone.
Yeah, they cleaned it up quite a bit, so.
Like, when you watch it on TV, you catch a lot of graininess, and a lot of that was gone.
Yeah, and one of the things they definitely cleaned up a lot of the film grain and a lot of the footage.
Yeah, definitely. Anybody have any parts that they didn't like or things they didn't like?
The girl seemed more annoying on the bigger screen. Like
it
she's cute on TV. You're like, oh, okay, she's freaking out. But when it's like blown in your ear, like Indiana,
that's
like
a
yeah,
a lot of
stuff. Yeah, it's too much.
She's gonna stop.
Yeah,
she's still screaming.
He's gonna save you. Calm down.
Yeah.
A lot of jokes have been made because of her since the movie was made, like Netherlands.
Hammett. Makes you want to go to Disneyland now.
Yeah, so right? Makes you want to go ride the ride again. The noise, the music, as loud as it was, that it reminded me of the ride more. Because on the ride, the music is so loud and right in your ears that it's like watching it on IMAX. So that was kind of cool.
So Disneyland trip right now.
Yeah. So was it worth the price of admission?
For me, it was.
Yeah, I'd say so. I mean, it's good to go back to the classics like that. Yeah.
Was it, Martin?
I think so.
Yeah.
James, what do you think? Was it worth the price of admission?
Definitely. It actually stood up well. I was surprised. When you sit down and watch it as a film as opposed to some old movie you've seen a million times.
It really 30 is. Years removed and cleaning it up was more than enough to make it an enjoyable movie-going experience.
It's a lot better than most of the movies I've seen in theaters for the past couple of years.
And this was done because they're going to release them on Blu-ray. Now, does that make you guys want to go out and buy it and see what they did on the Blu-ray, or is it still like, I'll wait for it to hit the bargain lot?
Wait for the
whole thing. I have definitely a policy against buying anything that George Lucas releases on Blu-ray in general.
It worries me what he might have done with it.
Yeah, which version is going to end up on the Blu-ray?
Yeah, if you will.
They're going to go back. It's no longer an arc they're going after.
Yeah. Like a bunny rabbit sitting on
there. Yeah. Yeah.
It was novelty, because I never got to see it in theaters, so I give everyone else a second chance.
That's a good word for it. Novelty. It is a novelty for somebody who.
I think of seeing like young Indiana Jones and young Doc Ock and all the young people in there.
Yeah, like their age difference. Alfred Molina in the beginning there.
Oh yeah.
Salah, before he gained the weight.
Right.
And lost the weight.
Right. I always look back at that in the first movie, and Salah was such a young guy. And then in this, when you see him up close on like a big screen, huge face,
like,
way younger looking.
Look at his teeth.
It was
enjoyable. It's an amazing experience to look at something like this, especially with all the people that are still working, and go, wow. You know, you see it on TV, but it's just not the same experience to have it blown up and in your face like that. An actor that you're still seeing 30 years removed, and just the age progression, the change.
Yeah,
still fun though.
Yeah, it was really cool.
I don't know if he's going to inspire any girls to write
"Love
You" on their eyelids now.
Oh, that was classic. I always forgot that part.
It's a little bit darker now when they write on their eyelids.
Well, you know, and plus, okay, so the movie came out in the 80s, but it was based in the 50s. So that, too.
Oh, she was a whore then.
Yeah, exactly.
Because
it took place during the war, you know, World War II. So.
She was bad. She was really bad.
Rebel.
But it was really cool to be able to say that I saw this movie in theaters, even though it's going to confuse people. I'm like, how old are you?
Exactly. I never saw it in theaters either, so that was cool.
Yeah, I think AJ's the only one here who was able to see it in theaters. They were replaying it, right? 10 years after it came out, right, AJ, right? Yeah. So with that...
Martin is walking home.
thanks everybody for coming out and... Check out the website. Anything we should add before we close out the show, AJ?
Real quick, I had a real quick question for everybody. Oh. So next week, they're releasing the entire series in the theaters. You guys going to come back and see the rest of the movies in the theaters as well?
Indiana Jones the Marathon.
With Shia LaBeouf,
okay? Yes.
Really?
Yes, Shia.
I'll wait till DVD. I'll rent it.
It depends. I don't know if I can afford $15 a movie. For
like, well, so it's a $25 ticket for all the movies. And but they're not all IMAXed out. They're just showing on the IMAX screen.
Right.
So that's the trick.
Only Raiders is IMAX, but the other ones are be playing.
I don't know that it would be worth it to do that. Cause
well, the last movie was digital.
Yeah, but the last movie scared.
Yeah, I never saw that.
So it looks like a no from the.
We can always watch it in the clubhouse.
Yeah, the majority vote is no to the Marathon. So cool. Well, with that, another podcast is in the can. We'll see you guys in episode 103.
Panelcast is brought to you by Forbidden Panel. Please visit us at www.forbiddenpanel.com.